This morning's homily is based on Psalm 98, but before I read God's word, let us pray. O Lord, as we come into your presence today to hear your word preached, allow our hearts and minds to be attuned to your word, plant it deep into the inner recesses of our hearts, and through your spirit, may we not just be hearers of the word, but doers. May we be an obedient group of individuals and as a church body here. So, Lord, bless this time this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, Psalm 98, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of horn. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, and the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The word of the Lord. Now, as we conclude, we're not back in Romans today, so just so you know, Romans will be next week, but we're concluding our series that I've done on Christmas carols and Advent hymns. Hopefully you've learned some new stuff as we've gone through it. Sometimes during the Christmas season, just singing the oldies is the best part to just get into the season of Christmas. And so just to give a quick recap, the first week, I focused on, lo, he comes with clouds descending. And in that sermon, we focused on the idea that Jesus came in his first advent. Jesus is coming whenever we believe in Christ for eternal salvation. And Jesus will come again. And I still have that song stuck in my head, Jesus is coming again. And that's as much as you'll hear me sing, I promise. In the new heavens and new earth, the Lord will give me a voice that actually sounds good. The second week, which perhaps was my favorite diving in, was O Come, Emmanuel. And we focused on the gift of God's presence in Christ. That's the gift in Christmas that's given to us. We carry God's presence with us, and we are to give it to others as well. Let the Spirit show up and proclaim the good news. The third week, we sang a hymn that I think none of us had ever sang before except me. But the song was entitled, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates, and I focused on the kingship of Christ. I gave every song an A+ except that one, because it was based on a psalm, and I was convinced that it wasn't so much the kingship of Christ in our hearts, so much as that it was public idea that Christ is king, and that's just a matter of fact, and to share that with others, so to focus on the kingship of Christ. On Christmas Eve, I focused on Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We focused on what angels are and what their functions, and I argued that the star in the Matthew text is in fact an angel. And I don't know if anybody else was doing this besides me, but as we were driving around in various neighborhoods for free entertainment to look at lights with little kids, Ezra and Zoe, I was taking an inventory in my mind of which manger scenes got the interpretation right and wrong. And it was about 50%. Sarah and I were playing a game in the front, and we were saying, oh, that one took it as an angel, that one took it as a star. So that was a fun sermon to work through. I had a seminary professor who said there's two types of preachers, preachers that make you feel good and preachers that make you think. I'm one that makes you think, and I'm going to play to my strengths. So I had a lot of fun with that sermon, so hopefully you learned a lot. Christmas Eve night, we focused on Silent Night, and we focused on the idea of human power versus God's power. And I took that against the whole idea of the Gowan air show. And what do we love as humans, as our human power, versus God's power on Christmas Eve, that he chose to come as one of us, as a baby lying in the manger, born to perhaps some estimates a 16-year-old girl. I mean, that is just amazing. Mary was quite young compared to how people are having children now. Today we finish our series with Joy to the World. And this homily is mostly just a pep talk, so to speak, for everybody. This is kind of a thing I do around New Year's time to don't just keep Jesus Christ in your heart, to go back to an internal thing, but to share it with others. The gift that was given to us in Jesus Christ wasn't meant to just be a fire insurance so we go to heaven when we die. It's meant to share it with others. And I think the song Joy to the World and Go Tell on the Mountain, which we just sang, capture that spirit really, really well. So that's the big idea today. Take Jesus Christ with you and share him with others. And you're going to hear that a lot. Again, it's the pep talk. I think I did something pretty similar last year, but every year it's really good to have one sermon focused on evangelism in the new year. So Joy to the World is loosely based on Psalm 98, and I'm just going to tick through it in quick order. You can hear the enthusiasm, the praise, and just all the wonderful language in this text. The psalmist says, "Sing a new song, for he has done wondrous things." As we've traveled in this series, what are the marvelous things that we've been seeing? The birth of Christ, his incarnation, and ultimately him rising us to eternal life. Christ sits at the right hand, his holy arm, and salvation has worked through him. The Lord has made known his salvation. Righteousness, which features in the Matthew text that I've been working through, is manifest in the nations. God has been loyal both to his people and specifically the children of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. That Matthew text, the Great Commission that Dennis read so well, you can see it on display in Psalm 98, which is really cool. So I think Matthew perhaps has Psalm 98 in his mind. What's the response to the way for salvation? It's for individuals to sing a joyful noise to the Lord, which we did already. All the earth is to do it. We are to have a joyous song and sing praises. I actually don't know what a lyre is. I have to confess on that, but I'll go back. You know, my commentaries are still in boxes, and I'll get them out eventually, so I was handicapped this past week. But regardless, we are to celebrate that our King Jesus is the Lord of all. Not only do humans celebrate, but the psalmist records all of creation singing. The sea roars, all that's in it. Everyone who dwells, the rivers clap their hands, which is kind of an interesting imagination exercise to think about rivers clapping their hands. The hills sing for joy, which driving in this morning to our new space, we're right by the hills, so I imagine the hills singing for joy together. For the Lord, and I think Christ ultimately fulfills this psalm, has come to judge the earth. What does Christ rule the earth with? His righteousness and equity. So, pretty simple psalm, easy to understand, and I think Christ fulfills it. So, what's the application for today? And, well, we're not in the new year yet, but we're one day before. Make one of your New Year's resolutions to make a virtue of sharing Christ with others. That's something to really consider. That's what I'm really trying to push us for. It should be our joy to share Christ with other people. Evangelism shouldn't be something that we just dread doing as individuals. Sometimes when the pastor gives a seminar on evangelism, or an elder in the church or somebody, people will often dread, well, you're telling me that I have to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone else? And the response is always, yes, it's not as scary as you think. One of the more radical ways that you can do this is just simply invite people to church. And I will bang this from the pulpit until my face turns blue. Inviting people to church is one of the most radical things that you can do. And don't commit the unpardonable sin of Pastor Douglas, which is don't make decisions for other people. Don't make decisions for other people. Just be faithful, obedient to the Lord's call, invite other people to come to worship. I read somewhere a couple years ago that Tim Keller, if you're familiar with his work, he was a Presbyterian Church in America minister, really successful, and did a lot of great work in New York City. He said that if you can get about 20% of your congregation to faithfully invite people to church every week, you will see growth. 20%. I would say, let's get to 50%. That would be better. He didn't really sketch out how that growth really occurs or how many, but it was a good baseline or a goal for church leaders to really consider. And what's really wonderful about the new space is that I'm hearing everybody inviting their friends to church already. So my pitch this morning is, you're enthusiastic about our new space, keep it going. Because often enthusiasm, what does it do? It wears off by about February. So we don't want to do that. We want to keep that enthusiasm going and pray that that enthusiasm, it becomes a part of our culture here at Christ Presbyterian Church, that it's a joy to invite other people to church to hear the good news of the gospel. Now, in that Matthew text that was read by Dennis, evangelism isn't something that X amount of people do. It's a command from the Lord on all disciples. In that text, we are told that Jesus will come again, which we sang about in our first week in our series. We're promised to have God's presence in 28:20. Jesus is even presented as the royal king, or emperor, I had said, in verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's a pretty bold statement. So when I say don't make decisions for other people, why don't we do that? Because it's not up to us to move people's hearts. It's the Lord who moves their hearts. He's the one that has all the power. Anytime we shrink back and don't want to invite somebody when the Lord's knocking on our heart, what's the driving the fear there? Well, I don't have enough power or enthusiasm or ability to communicate the gospel to others. I would simply just state, none of us do. It's the power of God in Christ who does the work for us. This passage is also wonderful to have read at the end of the year because it's a reminder of our mission here at Christ Presbyterian Church, which is to see new disciples in our midst. It's to see new baptisms of children and adults, because we baptize children too. We want children and adults. So let's get those babies wet here at Christ Pres. It's to challenge people to submit their lives to Christ's command. The whole entire passage is not predicated on our power, but it's predicated on King Jesus's power. Now, in order to witness the Lord accomplishing this text before our eyes, I challenge you to, again, just invite people to church. And I'm hearing a lot of people are doing that already. The enthusiasm is great. Keep it going. It's a novel idea. Do it with people that you already have relationships with. Invite your family members here in the Treasure Valley. Ask the Lord to, this is an important one, I think, ask the Lord to bring somebody new in your life with the intent to share the gospel and to hopefully maybe bring them even into the ministry of this local congregation. If you pray that prayer, I'm willing to bet, although I'm not a better, but that's a different story with gambling. It's contrary to the providence of God. So there's a joke for some people that I talked to that about. But I'm willing to bet that the Lord will bring somebody into your life. It's probably somebody that you might not have chosen, but it's imperative for you to be obedient and to just be open for the Spirit bringing somebody in your midst. So write that one down. I don't have my sermon outline today because I was on a time constraint, but in the new year, ask the Lord to bring somebody new into your life with the intent to share the good news of the gospel with. So I want to just tick through, and this is a homily, so it's quite short, a few ideas for how to think about this in the life of our church. And this morning when I read back through it and was doing my rehearsal, so to speak, I realized I should probably draft this in a newsletter to send out to the congregation so you can think through all of this too, because there's some action items that I'm about to give, and we don't want it to go in, or I don't want it to go in one ear and out the other, so to speak. So look in the coming week or two that I'll try to get this out in a newsletter format. So first, relationships. And I'm not just talking about the pastor, so it's not just, and that's just not me or whoever is your pastor, the pastor's job to bring people in. I hear that sometimes, and we don't want to do just a pastor model. I can do evangelism, but it's not like I'm not Billy Graham, if that makes sense. More power to Billy Graham, but it's not just the session's job to bring people into the life of the church. Whose job is it? The congregation. And the session and the pastor are here to equip you as the congregation to share the good news of the gospel with others. And we've been talking a lot about this as a session in the year 2023. And Presbyterians, we move quite slowly. So you'll see this start to roll out. We're trying to go from a more staff-led church to a more session-led church that equips the congregation to do the Lord's work. Most churches that are growing right now in the United States of America are congregational. The leaders equip people. There's more of an equipping model. So after we finish Romans, I'm going to do a whole series on the vision that the session believes the Lord has given to us, and we're going to talk about this equipping model. So stay tuned for that. Hence why we need a newsletter to just kind of remind you of this. You're going to hear a lot about equipping over the coming years. Now, I had told you to pray for somebody for the Lord to bring into your life, to share the good news of the gospel with, and perhaps to bring them into the life of this local congregation. And I want to share a story that I had a couple weeks ago. I've shared with a few of you on an individual basis, but sometimes the Lord is already out in front, and you just have to pay attention. So 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was depositing a check at Chase on Chinden. We won't be near Chase anymore. I'm going to have to go all the way by the mall, but that's okay. I can figure it out. Praise God for the new space. And on the check, this is important. It's not a trivial item to tick through, but the check had Presbytery of the Pacific Northwest. The Presbytery, since I'm going to be moderator starting tomorrow, pays for my travel expenses. So that's really cool. So the church is not paying for me to travel for the next 2 years. The presbytery is. So cost savings, as my dad said, in the business world. So I'm going over to Chase, depositing the check for my airfare. I do that every Tuesday when I'm running through errands. And the clerk at Chase gets a big smile on her face. And at this point, honestly, when I'm doing errands during lunch on Tuesday, I just don't want to be bothered. I just want to take my check, hand it to the person, get the receipt, and then go back to the office and take my prayer walk. That's kind of like what I want to do. But this clerk has this huge smile on her face, and I'm like, oh, gee, what is going on here? Because I don't want to talk. I just want to get this check deposited, sadly. And she asks, what do you do for a living? Because she saw Presbytery of the Pacific Northwest, and I said, I'm a pastor of a Presbyterian church. And she just kind of like shouted out, pastors rock. And I was like, okay. that's kind of weird at the bank. But she had this big smile, and she was just really enthusiastic. And she was like, well, where is your church? And I'm like, well, it's funny you should ask. We're moving this week. I think we were moving that day. I can't remember. 100%. And what was interesting about the experience is when she asked where it was, I didn't have to say, go to the Burger King, take a right, go in the back, look for the YMCA, and then it's across the street, but you'll still get lost because nobody can find her space. It actually was, no, it's on the corner of State in Glenwood next to the Huck House. And she immediately said, oh, I know where that is. And I said, well, if you don't have plans on Christmas Eve, you should check out our new church. She didn't come. It's not a big deal. But I'm convinced, as I thought about that experience, the Lord put it in front of me to demonstrate that people know where we are now. There's no longer, oh, 1 week we're at Kleiner, 1 week we're at Marriott. We have a specific space, and we also have a ton of people that walk past us. I don't know if anybody, has anybody been watching out the windows when they're here? The demographic that is going to the Huck House is like 20, 30, 40-year-olds. So once we get a sign-up or some, I don't know, we can get creative with the windows, but they're forced to know that we're here. And don't underestimate, see, there's people, everybody look and wave. Now they're going to think we're some type of cult or something. Come to Alpha, right? I mean, it's just, it's kind of theatrical almost. I won't ever do that again, I promise. But it made my mind start going, and I thought, you know, it was a real shame we didn't have invite cards with just our location and a code that goes to our website. But I'll work with Carissa, and we'll get those out. And whenever somebody asks you about your church, you can hand those cards to people. So stay tuned for that. But it just showed me that the Lord is out ahead, and others have shared stories with me. So that's relational. Pray for somebody, the Lord to bring somebody into your life. The second way to think about it is church programs. Sometimes people are a little bit shy to come to church, but there's various programs that the church has or ministries that can bring them in. So in the new year, we are working on an Alpha or a Christianity Explored. I know we've been kicking it around forever, and I know people eventually hold me to account, but we are going to do one in the new year. It's just not going to occur until the fall. It's not something that you can just say, hey, we're going to do this. It takes a lot of planning and preparation. So keep that in mind. It will come in the fall, and pray for the Lord to bring somebody in your life to bring to that program, because my understanding is it's all predicated on relationships, and you need to have friendships where you can invite people to come to that ministry. And I'd also say, don't just think about non-Christians. There's a lot of people post-COVID that have just kind of stopped going to church. Does everybody have friends like this? All right, we got head nods. Use that as a means to invite people. Maybe the Lord will use that to bring them back in, because, you know, sheep are not the smartest animals, and they tend to get lost, so we need to bring them back in. So there's not just new Christians, but there's a host of people kind of out there floating around that could be brought back in to the life of a church in relationship with the Lord. So that's one program. A second one is picnics and outreach events. So we'll have our fall barbecue. That seems to be well received, and a lot of people have asked me, why don't we do one of those in the spring? And we're going to try to do one in the spring, probably in May, so it's warm. We can celebrate the year from the program year of the church from September to May. And we can have one then. So invite people to that event. Tell them about our new location. We will also have the fall one and also the Christmas program. There's also just a lot of opportunities to do outreach events now that we have our own space. So I texted Alex Combs, who will start as children's elder. Is Alex still here? Oh, there's Alex, yeah. So I was texting him, you know, you can have a children's night where you show a movie on a projector, and we can invite kids from the neighborhood to come. There's just a lot, and have popcorn, because my kids are always talking about popcorn with movies. You got to have popcorn, Daddy. But we can have popcorn and movies and share a gospel message there. So there's just a lot of opportunity. Another one that's a little bit nearer that I've been kicking around on a Wednesday night, perhaps in April to May-ish, is having a study on the end of all things. So bear with me here. Anytime there's conflict in the world, war, and especially when Israel's involved, everybody thinks the end of the world is going to like come tomorrow or hasn't come already. Is everybody tracking with me on this? For us pastors, it can be a weird space, because you look back into church history and you pick on somebody like Martin Luther, and what permeated Martin Luther's life? He thought that Christ was going to come back like tomorrow. So when people are like, you know, I'm convinced that Jesus is going to come back tomorrow, I say, the great reformer Martin Luther thought the same thing too, and that was about 500 years ago. So, but what I'm saying is there's people that are interested in that, Christians and non-Christians alike. Even non-Christians go to the Bible and they say, I want to know about the study of all, how it all ends. And so what I'd like to do this spring is to be kind of a religious entrepreneur. There's a market demand for this, and there's about four different views that the church has held historically. So I'm thinking I could teach a class on it. It's pretty easy. I've done this before, and you can invite a friend to it, somebody that's all kind of wrapped up in what's going on and so forth. Maybe it's a creative way that somebody could be involved in the life of our church. I don't know, because I see it Facebook, and people are saying, the church doesn't talk about this topic. Well, we can talk about it and invite a friend. It'll be fun. I'll be a little bit lame as a Presbyterian minister, though, because the view of the Reformed and Presbyterian tradition is not that sexy, shall we say, with all the catastrophic stuff. But we'll get there. So in closing, I told you it would be short today. Keep sharing stories of the Lord opening doors with me and the elders of this church to invite people to church. Let's see that enthusiasm for our new space that the Lord's given us in this year continue into 2024. Let's not just keep that joy to the world in our inner recesses of our heart. Let's share it publicly with others and pray that the Lord uses this church and her ministry to see new professions of faith, new baptisms, and new people commit their life to Christ. Let's pray. Lord, as we come into your presence to finish out this year, help us as a congregation to not shrink back in fear with sharing the gospel with others, but to boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Help us in our relationships with others to see your hand at work in them and to share the gospel and invite them to church. Help us as a congregation to continue to refine and improve our programs. And Lord, I pray that the ministry of this church here in our new space would be a light to a dark world that needs to hear about your Son. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.